Thank you, Brother Gerald. Good evening, everybody. It's a beautiful hymn you selected there. The words are just filled with precious meaning. So we really need to be still tonight and hear the voice of God and see what He can also do for us in our particular need. The storm clouds are lowering over not only our community, but over our country. Great needs in the South. You look at the pictures, because we're familiar with a lot of that, with the hurricanes that we've had. We know quite a bit about it from first-hand experience. But some of them have never been prepared. I think of Brother Jeremy. They're not accustomed to hurricanes in Nagua. I think the last one they had was in 1923, if I remember correctly. They've been brushed by hurricanes, but never to have one hit them like this one. There's a lot of needs wherever you just scan your television. The whole world is just a seething pot, a boiling pot, as it were. Problems, turmoil, wars, riots, and famines, pestilences. All of these things are indicative that we're getting near home. Won't be long, beloved. That's why we need to lift our sights. Tonight we'd like to look at a few verses, and one in particular is in Galatians chapter 6, if you will. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read verse 14 of the last chapter of Galatians, chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. And this verse in particular I want you to note, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. May God bless the reading of His Word. There are distinct marks in many men in the Word of God. And the first time it is mentioned is in connection with Cain, way back in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15, where God put a mark on Cain. Now, I don't want to be speculate sort of what type of mark, where mark was put or anything like that. But sufficient to say it was a mark of dishonor. Wherever he went, he was marked out as a man of dishonor. And down through the centuries, in fact, the Bible is literally filled with men who are marked with dishonor. Thank God, many of the Christians were able to return and were able to be accountable to the Lord as well as go on for Him, and God gave them a second chance. I think of Jonah. It was a mark of dishonor that he disobeyed the Lord when he was given the commission. He had his own idea. His heart was sort of against the will of God because he didn't want or appreciate the idea of going to a Gentile nation to preach. They were the enemies of Israel. And later on, 100 years later, after the revival, it turned out that they were bitterly opposed to Israel. Nevertheless, God's will is not our will. The commission was, go into Nineveh and preach. And the mark of dishonor was upon that man. Because we can think of others. Look at poor Peter. Peter was a man who was, you have to appreciate him because he always was there to either speak first or give the impression that it can be done. There was, you know, he was a man of that capability. That was his characteristic. Very bold. Lord, if you die, I'll die with you. You're not going to die alone. And he was the only one that pulled out a sword to protect the Lord Jesus. And Christ didn't come to use the sword. That's why he told him, put the sword up. They that use the sword will perish by the sword. But nevertheless, Peter was that type of man. And yet when the real test came and Jesus told him he would do that, he denied the Lord 3 times. And it was very vivid how he did it and what, and how he said it. It was strong language that he used. It was a mark of dishonor, but then nice to know that God gave him another opportunity, another chance. And so we see a man like Cain. And then there are a lot of Christians, a lot of believers. None of us are exempt from this. We need to be careful that he who thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And it's easy to have a mark of dishonor before we get through life. Not very difficult, believe me. But I like Psalm 130 and verse 3. It said, if the Lord should mark iniquities, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with God. Brother Roddy prayed about this forgiveness tonight. But isn't it nice, though, that if the Lord had to mark our iniquities, we wouldn't stand a chance, would we? But I liken this mark to a mark of not just a judgment, but a mark of love and a mark of kindness, a mark of grace and a mark of forgiveness, if you will. And it's not a mark of condemnation to the believer, and it's nice to know this. If you're in Christ, there's now, therefore, no condemnation. You see, that's Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. But then you've got a portion like in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12. Here's a woman, she comes before the Lord, and she is praying. And in fact, the verse says, as Hannah continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. He thought she was drunk. This is a mark of accusation, a mark of carelessness on the part of Eli, the priest of God. And he falsely accused her. And it was very, very sad. But here is a woman that was praying. Here's a woman with a burdened heart. And he couldn't conceive, or at least he just didn't have the perception to think that she's coming before the Lord. Her lips moved, but she was praying to God. Eli says she is drunk. Mark of carelessness is not unusual. A lot of carelessness. Carelessness sometimes in how we speak, criticism. Sometimes how we judge. Carelessness. As to these things, some things what we say, wish we could retract and hold back. And you'd be surprised how damaging it becomes. And gossip is a very, very serious sin today. We talk about it lightly, but in the sight of God, it's serious and it's dangerous. And we must be very careful about this. Sometimes it could lead to bitterness, hatred. And the hatred in the sight of God is murder. So much can be read into this. But here is a woman that was devoted. Here is a woman with a burden. And it didn't matter what Eli thought. She had a burden in her heart, and she prayed to God that God would answer her prayer. You know, there was a man on trial with a serious crime. But what convicted him, because it didn't have much evidence, but his wife said something publicly, and she slipped. And as a result of the few words that she said in the marketplace, they got a hold of that and pressed her sorely until she admitted some things and caused her husband to be convicted. I'm not going to go into detail with that, but just slip of the lip. All right? So we need to be very careful here. We don't want to be marked with carelessness. We certainly don't want any mark of dishonor. And we don't want a mark of condemnation either. Okay, here's Philippians chapter 3. Here's another one. And verse 17. I like this one. It says, brethren, be followers of me. All right, that's the first part. That's important. You know, here's a mark of example. Be followers of me. I can't say that myself. I'm not a man like the Apostle Paul. That's a man that spent all night in prayer. He's a man that had a burden for the church. He's a man that loved the people of God to such an extent that he could write several epistles warning them great man of God. There is an example, a man of example. Be followers of me, brethren. Then he says something that's very sad. He follows. And mark those which walk so as ye have us have, rather, for an example. For many walk, verse 18, for many walk, and now I tell you weeping that they are the enemies of Christ. I tell you, of the cross. This is serious. So we're marking Paul because of how he lived for the Lord, with that example. But we also mark those who are enemies. Not that we hate or we are embittered, but you cannot help but mark them. Paul said it, that we are to also mark these. And he says, and now this is the part that gripped me today when I was reading. It says, for many walk, and now I tell you, weeping. He didn't rejoice in the fact that they were enemies of the cross. He wept. We should never weep when others fall either. Or even we should weep when we have people who fall away. We should weep even for the unconverted. If they criticize, condemn us, we should weep for them in our prayer life, of course. In fact, in our life, period. Oh, beloved, to be a follower of Christ. This is it. Paul was a follower of Christ. Mark that example. A follower of Christ. We've had a lot given recently on reflecting the image of Christ, and the glory of God seen in Christ should also be seen in us. A very thorough and a tremendous message on reflecting that image. Robert Murray McShane was a very godly man. And one day he visited his home, and he stood at the door and he knocked. The little girl came and she saw that saintly looking man at the door, and she ran inside and she says, "Mommy, Mommy, Jesus is at the door." Boy, wouldn't it be grand if some child could mistake us? Not that we are or ever could be. But at least to be saintly enough, godly enough, that a child would think that you are the Lord. Now, Robert Murray McShane wouldn't really boast of that. But it happened. The fact is, it happened. And so, here's the example. Here's the life. Here's the endurance of that life. Here's the life that we can mark. Here's the life that we can imitate. Here's the life that we can follow. And we can truly be that salt that Jesus spoke about. And the salt that not only preserves, but as a salt, we also create thirst in others. My life should be, and sad to say many times it isn't, but it should be where others want Christ, and they will thirst after those things that are spiritual, and will thirst after Christ, and thirst after the righteousness of God. And we want to be that example, right? So we are to mark, like Paul said, mark me, if you will, and be followers of me. I love that. It's a real challenge to my heart when I read that today. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine, which ye have learned, and avoid them. Here are people, and I've been in places where men deny the veracity of the word of God, literally so. Yet they stand in the pulpit and preach. I've been in places where men even denied the existence of God, said that he was, if he exists, he's totally unnecessary. God's unnecessary. And he's a preacher. This was in Canada many years ago. And they said that in God was morally harmful, because the commandments cuts across the morality of man. So this is what he concluded. God is morally harmful. Can you imagine that? And he's in the pulpit. And he's preaching. He wasn't the preacher of that church. We went there because we had to go from Emmaus to study the doctrines of these places and the teachings. Two of us, we went. I couldn't believe my ears because I was a young believer, and to hear this in Canada, this is many years ago, and here this man is like an atheist standing in the pulpit preaching. Never used the Bible, never quoted scripture, just philosophy. And then when the pastor got up, this is the part that I could never understand. Was not our minds stretched tonight and our hearts warmed? I believe most of them were asleep. Tell you the truth, our hearts warmed. How could your heart be warmed at something like that? You'd be surprised how many, even in some evangelical circles, are changing in their beliefs as to the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. You'd be amazed how many are giving heed to doctrines that are not fundamental. And so, we are to mark them. And we are to know the difference. And we are to be very cautious regarding even fellowship with them. Somebody knocks at your door with paper. They don't tell you we're Jehovah's Witnesses, but they want to have fellowship with you. They want to talk to you. And of course, they want entrance into your home. And when they get a foothold into your home, then they start on their teachings. And most of the older ones are familiar with their teachings here. But these are the folk that change their teaching something like 15 times in the last 20 years or so, maybe more than that. They've literally changed. You see, when I was a young Christian, their teaching was that only 144,000 were going to be saved. And they told me that. But they hadn't had a membership of 144,000 then when I was a young Christian, believe it or not. But what happened is they grew so fast and they are way beyond the 144,000. They were going to be the righteous ones. They're the ones that are saved. But then they had a real problem on their hand. What's the problem? Well, what's happened to those that believe in the doctrine of Jehovah's Witnesses? What's going to happen now? Where do we stand? The people were asking questions. So they came up with another teaching. Said, what you have to do is work hard. The harder you work, the more people you get to join the Jehovah's Witness membership. Then when you get home that day, when you get to heaven, then you're going to be counted worthy to enter. You won't be with 144,000 now, but you at least you'll be in heaven as a result of your faithfulness and your good works. And so what's happened, the religion has been based since then on fear. And the fear tactic is, if you don't work, that's why they bang on doors. That's why they go out the way they do. Mine puts us to shame, but the church doesn't live on a fear tactic, you see, or a fear problem. We work out of love. Our work should be greater because it's motivated by love. Sometimes they put us to shame because they're motivated by fear. And they do what they do because of it. And they're still not sure whether they're going to be saved or make it into heaven. Well, that's only one example. There are many, of course, in the world. You'd be surprised how many. All right, we'll leave that. Galatians 6:17, the verse that we read. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a mark of identification. This is a mark that is unmistakable. By their fruit ye shall know them. We've had that verse quoted quite a bit lately. And so it is true. Some may not bear as much fruit as others, but their fruit bearing, their life, their godly life, and we could see that they are believers. We know that they are believers. They follow the Lord. And you don't have to be a preacher or a great preacher, but the fact is that they are godly Christians. They love the Lord. And what would we do without them in our churches, okay? And so Paul is saying, I don't want no one to trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Those marks were no doubt suffering marks that he had. He was stoned, I don't know how many times, a few times. He was literally dragged on one occasion. They thought he was dead. But he survived. He was out in the ocean a few times. And if you read 2 Corinthians 11, you get some idea how much and what he went through. Paul suffered terribly. He had a lot of marks, believe me. But the mark of identification, that you belong to the Lord. I think of a soldier boy that on the field, he was dying. And the doctor was trying to take the shrapnel out of his chest. He looked up at the doctor before he died. He said, "Doctor, if you dig deeper, you'll find Napoleon there." He was one of Napoleon's soldiers. My friend, let me tell you, that should be the real motto of every believer. If you dig deeper, you'll find Jesus there in our hearts and in our life for the glory of God. And so, like the dying man, and this is interesting, the children were anxious to get him to sign the will. "Daddy, you haven't signed the will yet. The will is made up. Please sign the will." Very weak. Maybe his mind was disoriented. And so he took the pen, and they were so happy to see that he's still able to sign the will. And so he signed it. And without looking at the will, it had the signature. In the last moments of in this life, a few breaths he was drawing, and he expired, and he went out. You know what he signed? Jesus Christ. He loved the Lord so much. And the only thing that was on his mind when he was dying was Christ. And they didn't realize it, but that's what he signed on that paper. Boy, that's what you call living close to the Lord. I don't even know whether he was aware of what he was signing, but however, that's what he signed. And this is a fact. It's nice to know that we're identified with the Lord. Not that you put a sign up, "Look at me, I'm a Christian," and one on your back. No, you don't have to wear any type of thing to indicate that you are a believer. I'm not against some of the things that we might wear. Please understand me here, but it's far, far better that when we have the image of Jesus shining out of our life and to the glory of God, okay? And we need to understand that principle to be identified. That is it, identified with Christ. We are marked out as believers of the Lord Jesus. Before I give you the last scripture, or maybe one more, there are two mothers. They were celebrating the birthday of their two little children. Can you imagine that? Two mothers now in a restaurant. And they were celebrating. They even had a little cake there on the table. And the waitress came, you know, and gave them what they wanted. And then they said to them, "Whose birthday is it?" "So we noticed you only have two candles here." "Oh," he says, "her daughter is 3 years old and mine is 2. And we're celebrating their birthday." They said, "Where's the children?" He says, "Oh, we left them home with a babysitter." Now, can you imagine two mothers celebrating the birthday of their two little children and the children home? Isn't that ridiculous? There was no way identifying those mothers with the children. Oh, God forbid, help us to realize that we're with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our Savior, and he loves us, and are marked out as his children. And thank God we will celebrate in a greater way in the day to come when we're going to be with him. All right, Psalm 37:37, if you're taking down the scriptures. "Mark the perfect man." Mark Hartley always uses this verse a lot. He says, "And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Oh, I love that. "Mark the mature man." Mark the complete man. The man who's risen to maturity. You mark him. That man has peace written all over his face. Mark him. We do well, beloved, to mark people like that. And David goes on to say in verse 25, I've been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. When you're marked by the Lord, you walk with the Lord in uprightness and faithfulness to him, he not only gives peace, but he gives provision. And we thank God for that. Philippians 3:14 for the last. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, aim high. Aim for the mark. Reach the tape. You've heard a lot about this lately in the Olympics. One man won the race in the Olympics. The other looked like he was going to win, but this fellow pressed himself, leaned forward, and he got a first. Or at least he got a medal. Press on. Don't give up. The road is difficult sometimes. God promised that there would be hardships. There would be trials. And appreciate the fact that you're making others here, their trials, your trial. Their sorrow, your sorrow. We share in the burden of the believers. Many in this little island have burdens. And it's almost hard to imagine some of them, but they're there, and they're real, they hurt, they're painful. And so we need to bear one another's burdens. We need to be there, beloved, and just keep on pressing on. Don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord's going to reward you, and he's going to bless you for it. Just do what you can for him while you can, and the Lord will reward you in the coming day. Don't know what the extent of these rewards, but he promised that he's going to reward you. But press toward the mark, aim for it, and go on. Go on. I know you get tired sometimes, me telling some stories over again, but I can't help telling you this one comes to mind. Many of them flood my mind. Some of them I dismiss, but this one I must share with you again. There was a man who broke down outside of a farmhouse many years ago. And this farmer took the vehicle and tried to work on it. They tried to get it fixed. And in the meantime, wife came out with a nice cold glass of milk. And he drank that glass of milk. And the family atmosphere was so impressive. He was so impressed with the love he saw in that family. And, they got that vehicle started, and he went back. And it wasn't long until a man drove up in the yard, two men actually. Both of them were driving these pickup trucks. And the fella came to him and said, and I'm using a name at random. He said, are you Mr. Jones? He said, yes, I am. Mr. Clarence Jones? He said, yes, that's me. He said, okay. He said, so we have instructions to deliver you this truck. He said, you made a mistake. I didn't order no truck. He was a poor, poor farmer at that. And he said, I'm sorry, sir, but we have here your name. And he says, who sent it? He said, Mr. Henry Ford. Henry Ford, of course, as you know, is a man who invented the car to such an extent. And then, but it had a note. Not only from Henry Ford, signed by him, but it said this, paid in full for a glass of cold milk. A little kindness, say, one glass of milk, give you a pickup truck. Now don't go out tomorrow and try to give a glass of milk and hope that you're going to get a pickup truck, all right? But just the principle is what I want to get across. Whatever you do for the Lord is remembered by him. Just remember that. God will bless you. Father, thank you again for your love, for your grace, for your kindness. Help us to be marked with a true example. We fail you so many times. Oh, God, forgive us for this. And give us the ability by speech, yes, and by life to live for your glory. We can't do it in our own strength, Lord. We'd miserably fail. We've tried it many times, and we haven't been able to do it effectively. But we want you to live in our hearts today. Just take over our life. Take the reins of our hearts, O God. Move upon us as only you can do. Families that are hurting, as we heard already tonight. We commend them to you, Lord. You're the God of the impossible. So we thank you for this. Pray that you be everything to these dear ones. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.